work that Aaron has done with Sparkle endpoints and Camel, and sort of how that ties into how we work, how we were thinking of RDF and triple stores and things of that nature. So Aaron sent over some emails. I don't know if everybody had a chance to read some of the contents of that, but I thought it'd be great for us to hear more about it in person with them. So Aaron, if you could take it away.
Great. Thank you, Mike. The way I'm sort of envisioning this is I'll have a brief presentation about Dora, triple stores, et cetera. And then we can spend most of the time in conversation about sort of diving into some of those concepts. If you're interested in certain areas or looking at other kinds of patterns for integrating these kinds of external systems. I'm gonna start by sharing my screen. I have a few slides to show. Okay. So do you see that slide, everyone?
Yep.
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 Okay. So very briefly, I'm a programmer at Amherst College. I've been working with Fedora since about 2012. We currently have a Fedora 3-based system in production. It's got close to 1.5 million objects, and so it's reasonably sized. It's currently spread across something like 10 or 12 servers, depending on how you count. And so just by way of background, my particular interests lie mostly in asynchronous distributed architectures. And so the idea of distributing triple stores and distributing this kind of repository data over a large number of data stores, that's something that very much interests me and something I've been doing for some time. This talk in particular, I'm going to start by talking a little bit about triple stores and Sparkle and how those relate to Fedora, how they're similar, how they're different. And next, looking specifically at integrating an external triple store using the Camel framework. And then I'd like to leave the rest of the time for questions and discussion. So immediately when you think of triple stores and you think of Fedora 4, you'll notice that they both use RDF. There's a lot of RDF in both, but I think it makes sense to set up a few initial distinctions. And I think this is useful both because you can figure out what each of these is best at and where you can target particular use cases. So on the left side, I have a number of sort of attributes for Fedora, and on the right, a few attributes for triple store. Fundamentally, Fedora is an object repository. And really, the central piece of Fedora is this notion of a resource. Depending on how much you've worked with Fedora 4, you'll see there are containers and there are binaries. This sort of maps to the Fedora 3 concept of objects and data streams very nicely. And so effectively in Fedora, there is a lot of RDF, but it's used just to describe resources and to express relationships between resources. That's quite a bit different than a triple store, which fundamentally is an RDF database rather than an object repository. And so here in a triple store, the central concept is the triple. And that means you can have any kind of a triple, any RDF. It supports all kinds of RDF, including RDF queries, and such things that Fedora really doesn't do, such as blank nodes or named graphs or inference. Now, Fedora sort of does blank nodes, but not really. And we can get into that if you're interested. And in passing, I'll mention this thing about inference. This is something where a triple store really starts to shine. And if you're interested, I can give you some examples of what I specifically mean when I say inference. If you're visually minded, what this means in a practical sense with Fedora and triple stores is Fedora is really about this notion of a pointed graph. So whenever you have RDF, you have a graph in the mathematical sense. And this picture with Fedora, this pointed graph, on the far left, the little node there, that is your resource. And so pointing off to these other nodes, those are going to be descriptions of this core resource that's on the far left. And so the point of the graph here, this root, it's always rooted in a resource that's in the repository. Whereas a triple store, that can have any shape, it can have any structure, and it can be an arbitrary graph. And that's really the difference. Now, of course, a triple store could support a pointed graph like what you see with Fedora, but it can support anything. And that's really, really part of the big difference. The other point to emphasize in terms of differences between Fedora and a triple store is the kind of query interface. How do you get data out? With Fedora, you could either say that it has a key value query interface in that the key is the resource, the URL, and the value is the response. Or you could say it doesn't have a query interface at all. Basically, you make a request for the resource at a particular URL, and you get back a response. It's pure HTTP following principles of REST. Triple stores, on the other hand, have a very robust query interface. So it uses something called Sparkle, which is a W3C standard. It's nice to use standards when you're talking about these kinds of interfaces. With Sparkle, you can get back, so with Fedora, you can get back information about a particular resource. There's a little bit of subtlety in there where it's possible using prefer headers and things like this with more advanced kinds of requests to get back information about other resources as well. But typically, you get back information about the resource that you've requested, and that's it. With a triple store, you can, for example, in this sample query, I can get back all of the manuscripts or all of the objects that are of type manuscript, Yale:manuscript, that are inside this repository, you know, this collection, COLL4 collection. So basically, in this case, your query can be requesting any kind of objects in the triple store that follow some kind of pattern, and you provide the pattern using these kinds of triples like this. And again, depending on how much background you all have with using Sparkle, we can go into exactly what some of the syntax is and what's possible. So just before I get into the meat of this slide, Fedora 3, if you're familiar with that, or even earlier Fedoras, Fedora 3 at least has a built-in triple store. And with it, it indexed all of the RELSX, RELS INT, and DC data streams. And it's really, really convenient. In fact, in our Fedora 3-based system at Amherst, we use it very, very much. We use it for a lot of kinds of queries, and it's incredibly useful. The problem is that the triple store competes for resources with Fedora. So because they're both running inside of the same Tomcat container, there are certain kinds of Sparkle queries that can be incredibly resource intensive. And so we actually found that during large batch ingests, the triple store can become so slow that the repository became practically unusable. And in particular, it's memory resources that the triple store can take up. And so So basically, your triple store can become a bottleneck if they're bundled together. And furthermore, depending on the version of Fedora you're using, the triple store that we have, it's Mulgara. And again, depending on the version that you're using, it may not support all of Sparkle 1.1. So there are certain kinds of query constructs that you may not be able to use. So basically, to summarize, you can't, in Fedora 3, you can't really scale these pieces independently. You can't swap Mulgara out for a different version without a rather, you know, intense interaction with some of the core inner workings of Fedora. And you can't prevent Mulgara from competing for resources with Fedora. So with Fedora 4, as you all probably know, there is no internal triple store. So as for why, this is mostly to address a lot of the performance-related shortcomings that I just mentioned, but also to give users a lot more flexibility. So if you don't want to use a triple store at all, you don't have to. If you want to use Fuseki, or you want to use Sesame, or Blazegraph, or Virtuoso, or some other new triple store that no one yet knows about, you can do that. And finally, the other thing is by removing this component from the core of Fedora, it makes the core of Fedora much, much smaller, much simpler, and much more focused. And so the team of people who are maintaining Fedora can really focus on that very focused or very simple core. But I think there is a very general recognition that triple stores are really useful, and especially with the amount of RDF in Fedora 4, triple stores are going to be even more useful. So effectively, the Fedora community is sort of encouraged to follow this message-based integration, where we're providing some tooling that happens to use CAML, and it does so it does so asynchronously. So on the one hand, this, depending on your background, this may seem very intimidating. Asynchronous systems can be really hard to wrap your head around, and CAML, especially if you're not familiar with certain kinds of patterns that it tries to implement, it can be really hard to understand. If you've gone to the CAML website, it's almost totally impenetrable. I'm not even sure that I would encourage you to go to the CAML website to try and figure out what it is all about. However, I would say that all of you really, really do already have a strong grasp of how these messaging systems work. And if you think about how you manage email, you'll see. So I, for example, receive a lot of email. I get, I don't know, somewhere around 1,500 and 2,000 messages a week. And that's just in my Amherst account. And it doesn't count messages that go right into the spam folder. But, you know, I don't spend much time reading email. And it's not because I'm a fast reader. Basically, I have a lot of rules and filters in place. So messages from certain lists go into a low priority folder. I read them if I have some spare time, otherwise I just trash them. Messages from other lists go into a medium priority folder. I can check these intermittently, maybe a few times a week. There are certain kinds of automated system alerts that go into my inbox, but usually I don't need to read more than the subject line to know what's happening and whether I even need to do anything about it. And some messages, in fact, go right into the trash. So in some ways, this is very much like a messaging system similar to how CAML works. Basically, something happens. In this case, an email is received. One or more rules are invoked to decide what to do with that message, and then it's sent on to the appropriate location. And really, it's no different with Fedora. When something happens, so an object is added, changed, or removed, a message is sent out. This is the default behavior for every release version of Fedora since at least version 3. And we can do something with these messages, or we can just let them fall on the cutting room floor. So in the case of wiring in an external triple store, all we need is a little bit of code that listens to that event stream, transforms the message into Sparkle update, containing all the triples for the resource in question, and send it on to the triple store. The code can be written in any language. I used to use Python, now I use Camel, and this is, so it could be really an entire talk to go into all of the details of Camel, but suffice it to say that Camel makes a lot of the really hard things really easy. Things like deployment, logging, error handling, monitoring, and those kinds of things that end up taking up a lot of boilerplate code that frankly I would rather not write, and honestly that are things that can very easily go wrong. So effectively what happens here is, if you look at this slide, we have Fedora on the left, we have a triple store on the right. You can put those on separate machines, you can put them on the same machine, you can put them within the same Tomcat container, or you know, you can do whatever. But basically they're fundamentally decoupled. And so again, when something happens to Fedora, you create an object or you update an object, a message comes out after that operation has succeeded. And then this code, this Camel code, does something with that message. Now it does that asynchronously, which means that once you make the change in Fedora, there will be a slight delay before it appears in the triple store. So that's actually a good thing. If it were completely synchronous, meaning you have a client that's talking to Fedora and you create an object, and then your client were to wait until after the triple store had updated, it would take only maybe a few milliseconds longer, maybe an extra half second, I don't know. Depends on a lot of different things. However, you can imagine maybe at some point you needed to restart your triple store, or maybe there was some kind of network connection, or maybe Fedora is moving along really, really quickly and handling a lot of requests, but your triple store is under-resourced at that particular moment, and so it's slow. Now, by decoupling these, what you can do is you can make it so that even though your triple store is handling these messages slowly, Fedora is still really fast. And so your triple store doesn't become this bottleneck of operations with Fedora. And so that's really one of the key things about these kinds of asynchronous systems. And imagine here we're just integrating a triple store with Fedora. If we were integrating 10 different things or 20 different things, you could imagine that in a synchronous kind of arrangement, it could become really, really slow. So again, that's where this asynchronous system ends up working really, really quite nicely. In Camel is fundamentally it's a framework for integrating different systems, and that's really why it's a good choice here. It's specifically designed to connect different kinds of applications. So now Fedora doesn't need to know about a triple store in particular, and it doesn't need to know about Solr and Solr's query syntax, and it doesn't need to know about, maybe you have some kind of caching layer using MongoDB. It doesn't need to know about MongoDB. All it needs to know about is resources and how Fedora thinks about resources. Likewise, your triple store doesn't need to really know about Fedora, and so on and so forth for Solr and for whatever else you happen to have in your infrastructure. And so again, by having these integration frameworks, using those to connect the different endpoints, that basically means that you can develop your applications. You can develop them independently, and then they're integrated using a framework such as Camel. Again, the advantage of Camel from a developer's perspective is really that there's really not a lot of code. It implements a domain-specific language so that I can tie Fedora to a triple store with about 40 or 50 lines of code. And all of, again, all of those hard things that I had mentioned earlier just kind of happen automatically, and I don't have to worry about them. The Fedora project has a set of tooling that it makes available for these kinds of integrations. Again, to make these general kinds of patterns easier to set up and deploy. There's a project called FC Repo Camel Toolbox. And in addition to this triple store integration, it includes a number of other integrations, again, that are kind of ready to deploy. One is for serializing objects to disk. For example, if you have a preservation workflow where you want to bundle up the serialization or the representation of these objects into some kind of disk-based or maybe even a Bagit kind of container. Maybe you want to push those off into the cloud. You can do whatever you want. But basically what this does is it allows you to serialize them to disk, and then you can do whatever you want with that. You can index all of your Fedora resources to Solr. You can check the fixity of your resources. You can record audit events in a triple store. These are the kinds of things. And again, with this tooling, you can create your own with a fair amount of ease, I would say. So that's basically it for the main bit of this this session. I'm not sharing the screen. Okay. So at this point, we can start a discussion or conversation. I also have a Fedora and a triple store running on my laptop that I can show as well in terms of exactly how this integration works. And so I'll stop here and sort of open it up for discussion.
Aaron, I wonder if you could, in one of your earlier slides, you said in a Sparkle query that you were using the Portland Common Data Model. Is that a vocab you're using in your digital collections now, or can you talk about the metadata structure that you guys are using at Amherst College?
Well, right now everything is Fedora 3, mm-hmm. But I can talk about what we are planning to do with Fedora 4.
Great.
So we've been having meetings and conversations at Amherst for almost a year now, maybe more like 9 months, about the kinds of vocabularies we'll use, how we're going to structure metadata, how we're going to describe objects. We're separating structural metadata from descriptive metadata. And so for structural metadata, we're going to use PCDM. And I don't think there's really anything particularly unusual about how we'll be using them, how we'll be using that vocabulary for structural metadata, but it is really just structural metadata. So for example, a lot of the objects at Amherst are 19th century manuscripts. We have a lot of Emily Dickinson manuscripts. We have other kinds of manuscripts from some people you've heard of and some people you haven't heard of. And so basically what that means is you have an object, and that object contains pages, and those pages contain certain kinds of, you know, files, basically. So we have TIFF files, we have various representations of each of those images of those pages. And so we would have a top-level object, which would be a PCDM object, and then it would have, you know, PCDM has member for all of the pages. Now, Fedora it implements the LDP platform, which is the linked data platform. And so just let me know if you've covered all this territory before, but LDP has some really nice features that we will also be using in this context. So let's say we have this manuscript, this Fedora manuscript, it'd be a PCDM object, and it'd also be an Amherst colon manuscript. that object in Fedora would have a child container. Let's call it members or pages, or it doesn't really matter. And that is going to be a direct container, which is a special construct within LDP. And so you can do these this special thing with LDP, and I can get into this if you would like, where now any object that I put in that child container, in this members directory, basically, now all of a sudden on the parent object, this manuscript object, I immediately have this new triple PCDM has member, and it points to that page. So all I need to do, so rather than having to add a page in Fedora and then add my PCDM has member to that, linking the manuscript to the page, I can just create a page in this particular direct container, and then my triples automatically appear. And so we'll be doing that with files, we'll be doing that with pages. You can also use indirect containers, which are a little bit more sophisticated. A lot of Hydra implementations are planning to use indirect containers. I feel like they're a little bit more complicated than I need, especially because we will be using not just Hydra to communicate with Fedora. We'll have a number of different things talking to Fedora. So I want to keep things really, really simple. And from my perspective, direct containers are a lot more simple than indirect containers.
Aaron, what other programs, what other systems are you going to have communicating with Fedora?
Let me think. So first of all, we will need to have some way of exporting data as mods XML for OAI PMH harvesters. So that's one of our needs. So we will need some mechanism for converting data. Now, right now, all of our data in Fedora 3 uses mods. We have some specialized things, but everything sort of is converted to mods at some point, and then we use mods to export that data. Now, in RDF, if you've tried using the RDF version of mods, it's really, really complicated. In the context of Fedora, I would not really recommend it, just because it ends up using a lot of hierarchical constructs, a lot of blank nodes, it's just a lot of complexity. And a lot of that complexity really can be better expressed just using DC terms, SCOS, other sorts of vocabularies like that. And so we are going to be, so anyway, that's one. We'll be using obviously a Solr-based system for accessing metadata, or for indexing metadata. I'm anticipating that the administrative system for managing metadata and access controls will be in Hydra. And I also imagine that the front end may or may not be in Hydra. That sort of is to be determined. There is another project called APIX, which is the Fedora API extension architecture that is trying to bring together a common set of patterns for how you would extend the API to resources. And that seems like a really interesting approach. So those kinds of integration would be part of it. One last example I would add is we're looking at, so again, if you have a manuscript that has anywhere from 5 to 500 pages, you might want to wrap all of that data up into a single archive, and then store it in some kind of preservation system, whether that's in the cloud or whether that's in some kind of a distributed locks based system or something like that. So that's another way of another component that's going to have to interact with Fedora.
Thanks. This is a little bit off topic, but do you mind just telling us a little bit more about your administrative system for managing metadata and how you handle that now, whether it's bulk bulk ingests, bulk updates, et cetera?
So I would first start out by saying that this is a major pain point of our current architecture. So, us as well.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So, we have a couple of different kinds of, I guess you could call them applications within our infrastructure. One of them is we have a mediated self-deposit institutional repository, which is basically a Hydra head. And so that has, it uses Hydra to manage all the metadata, and there's an interface for that, and it's all easy to use and everything works. However, that honestly, there are maybe 200 resources in there, faculty publications, and that's, you know, that went online, I don't know, 9 months ago. Now, the other 150,000 objects that we have in Fedora are, again, these, they've all been added via bulk ingest, usually at about 10,000 at a time. And that's not the kind of thing you would do one by one. And so those it's all been scripted. It uses Python. It's been highly customized. I wouldn't recommend it particularly. It's all very, it has a lot of expectations about what the structure is going to be on, you know, for input. And it has a lot of expectations about what it's going to look like in Fedora. And that's, so it's okay for these bulk ingests, but then when a metadata librarian, say, finds an error in, say, the description of something, well, if it's a bulk error, then I will write another Python script to go through and edit, you know, 10,000 objects. Or if it's just, if it affects two objects, then I will have to probably go in myself through the Fedora administrative interface and make that modification myself. It's really not pretty. And that's why I think having some kind of unified interface, you know, for Fedora 4 is a really high priority for us.
Thanks.
Hello. Hi, this is Eric. Just a question. So Hydra has hooks into Fedora and Solr, where you can actually use the Hydra API to ingest into both Fedora and Solr. But given an implementation of CAML asynchronously connecting to Solr, would it make more sense to not have Hydra have any idea of the Solr implementation and allow CAML to do it? Or is there one way that is better than another?
Yeah, so the issue is Hydra manages its own Solr index, and there's also this CAML approach for managing a Solr index. It's a little bit complicated, and I think it depends a lot on who you ask. Hydra at present uses the Solr index for two purposes. One is as a search index, and this is the blacklight based search. The other, it also uses Fedora, it also uses Solr as a kind of a caching layer, as a, sort of a document store for, because certainly in the Fedora 3 world, pulling data out of Solr was much, much quicker and faster than pulling data out of Fedora. And so what Hydra did is they cached a lot of the data inside of Solr. So they're using Solr both as a search engine and as a document store. Now, as a search engine, you know, populating that asynchronously really is no problem. There's really no issue with doing that. However, if you're using Solr as a document store, it becomes really problematic. So you can't, for example, say, we're going to update this object, and right now when you do that in with Hydra, you update the object in Fedora, and then your client goes and updates the object in Solr. And then it completes after both of those have been updated. So if you can imagine, it only were to update Fedora, and then the Solr part would be replicated asynchronously, then you start getting into these really kind of tricky questions where, okay, well, the cache that we think should be there in Solr isn't actually there yet because there's a delay. And who knows how long the delay is going to be. Maybe it's a fraction of a second, maybe it's 10 seconds. And there are some kind of bizarre errors that can emerge from that. So the Hydra infrastructure, the way I typically do this is I just let Hydra manage its own Solr index, and that's the Solr index it uses. Now for the public front end, if that were also using Hydra, then I could just reuse that Solr index. But if it's going to be something else, then I might use the asynchronous propagation of the Solr index. But basically Hydra in its current incarnation, it really needs a synchronous interaction with Solr, and so making that asynchronous will become it becomes kind of problematic unless you change some of the fundamental assumptions about how Hydra interacts with Solr.
I have a question. You were talking about triple stores, and I know there's so many of them. I'd be interested in your selection process, how you went about that.
I'm not sure that I'm actually the best person to ask about that. I am most familiar with Jenna, and that's because that's the one I've used the most. I've used Sesame a little bit, but Jenna has worked well enough, so I haven't really explored others. I've heard that some people like BlazeGraph, but I've never really used it myself. And I've heard, again, this is all hearsay, so take it with a grain of salt, but I've heard that if you're using inferencing with BlazeGraph, it can become really slow on updates. Jenna, I don't think Jenna is known as the fastest triple store, but it's, as I understand it, it's pretty solid. It's been really solid so far. But I would say it's worked for me, and I haven't had any reason to go out and find something different.
Actually, that kind of goes back to a topic from before. Would you mind showing an inference example?
You bet. Okay, I'm going to share my screen again. Okay, so here I have, do you see a picture of the Fedora interface?
Yes.
Okay, so here we have, I have an object in Fedora. I emptied out Fedora, and so it's got two objects. It has the root object, and then it has this this container called Yale. In here, I basically set two triples. One is this DC terms abstract, and one is a SCOS pref label. As you see here, these are all the triples that come with that object. This is just a little. I mean, I can show it to you in a different serialization, but this is, I think, pretty easy to see. Now, if I go over here to Jenna, this is the triple store that I have running, again, on my same machine. If I do a query for, move some windows here. If I do a query for, so this is select star where S has an RDF type of Fedora resource. I get two results. I have the root and I have Yale. So that's just a standard sort of query. Because I have inferencing turned on, if I were to do select star where, you know, question mark S, question mark P, question mark O, meaning return, give me all the triples, you would see a ton of things come through. And I'm going to spare you that. So as you recall, there's a DC terms abstract. So so what this query is going to do is I'm saying, okay, find me everything that's a Fedora resource. And of those resources, tell me, give me only those that have a DC terms abstract triple and tell me what that abstract is. There should be one result. And yes, in fact, it's the one result. I get the S, so S, which is this column on the left, and the abstract column, which is that. So in Fedora, we use DC terms abstract, but it turns out that DC terms abstract is a subclass of DC description, right? So it doesn't matter what the variable, I'm calling it description now, but it doesn't matter what that is. It could be anything. So let's say I want to know what the DC description of it is. Well, Fedora doesn't have anything about DC description, but if I do a query here, I get my description. This is a talk about integrating Fedora 4 with an external triple store. And the reason I have that, the reason I get that is because I've instructed the triple store to use simple, it's a simple reasoner, where basically what happens is because DC terms abstract is a subproperty of DC description, I know that anytime I ask for DC description, I would get anything that has, you know, where I specifically use DC description or where I'm using DC terms abstract, which is a specialization of that DC description. Another example, I'm using SCSS pref label. And we'll just call this label. And, you know, again, I get one response. Here we have the SCSS pref label for this. Now, SCSS pref label is a subproperty of RDFS label. So if I had one client that talks to my triple store that knows that I'm using SCSS pref label, it can just use that. But if there's another application, and this may be some application that's out on the internet somewhere, and it only knows about RDFS label, it doesn't know about SCSS, I can do a query for RDFS label, and sure enough, I get that label. But if I go back to Fedora, you'll see that triple doesn't exist. So what's happening is the triple store is inferring that triple exists, and it does that inference using, it uses some set of rules about based on RDF or RDFS. The other thing that I typically do is this repository has basically one resource in addition to the root. But let's say I had 100,000 or 2 million. Now, 2 million off of the root. So if I were to, so then the root resource is going to have this LDP contains triple pointing to every child object. Now, if I were updating this, if I had to update my triple store every time a new object were created, there would be millions and millions of LDP contains triples that had to go across the wire and be propagated in my triple store. However, I don't need that because every resource also has this Fedora has parent triple. I'm not sure if you can see the highlight that I have here, but Fedora has parent is functionally in this application is the inverse of LDP contains. So if I instruct my inference engine that LDP contains is an OWL inverse of Fedora has parent, then anytime it sees Fedora has parent, it knows that that it can just swap those the subject and the object, and it has LDP contains. So when I'm propagating objects in my triple store, I don't include the LDP contains. However, LDP contains is here, and I can show you. Let's see here. So here we have. I did a query now with LDP contains subject and object, and the subject is the root of the repository, and it does contain this one object. Even though I didn't actually have that triple go across the wire using Camel.
That's really cool.
So personally, I think this is like the main reason to use a triple store. It's kind of like, I mean, in my opinion, you can use a relational database system just fine without ever using a join, but you're kind of missing the point if you don't. And I think likewise, using a triple store without some kind of simple inference, you end up kind of missing a lot of the power that a triple store can provide if you don't use at least some kind of simple inference.
I'm wondering if you could also talk to performance. I've heard you say in the past a few times that Sparkle isn't the fastest thing in the world. And I'd be interested to know how you work around that and how you've kind of designed your systems to allow for that.
So Sparkle is definitely not very fast, and I just assume it's going to be really slow. So there are a couple of things you can do. One is make sure, you know, if you think about a web request that comes in, make sure that in order to fulfill that web request, you're not ever having to do a Sparkle query on a triple store. So what I do, and this is what we do in our current system, this is what we'll do in the future, I'm sure, is anything that whenever an object changes in Fedora, I send out a message that says, well, update, basically cache this query. So I do my Sparkle query, and it may be arbitrarily complex. You can have these very complex queries using Sparkle, and it may be slow, but I don't actually care that much if it's slow because it happens asynchronously and then it's cached. And so I just cache the results in, you can get results in JSON or XML or a variety of formats, whatever makes sense to you. And then I just cache it. So so what we're doing right now is there are a number of Sparkle queries, for any resource that you want to pull out of our repository right now and view on the web, there are going to be a number of Sparkle queries involved there. One has to do with a manuscript. You want to know what all the pages are and what the order of those pages are. So that's a Sparkle query. You want to know what are all the collections that this particular object is in. That's a Sparkle query. There are things like that. So what I do is I run all of the Sparkle queries, and then I assemble them into a single object in JSON, and then I just store them in a document store. We happen to be using React, which is a distributed kind of document store. It's really, really fast, and I can't say enough good things about it. But that's how we use it.
And that shows R-E-A-C-T?
R-I-A-K.
Much different than I expected. So I'm looking at the time, and we have about 5 minutes left. I'm wondering if there's any more questions.
You give an example of where triple stores and Sparkle queries really shine, and where you'd rather use them over like Solr?
So definitely if you're doing any kind of inferencing, Solr doesn't do inferencing. So that's a big win there. The other, I would say the biggest win is if you're really trying to construct, so Solr is fundamentally about a document. So you have a particular document and you can search fields on that document. With Sparkle, you can have an arbitrary kind of nesting because again, a graph is, you're querying the graph of documents, and that the structure or the shape of that graph can be anything really. Whereas with Solr, it's it has to be, you know, it's really document centric. So if you're doing a query like give me all the manuscripts that have a child resource of this type and a metadata or, you know, a particular description or a particular triple on that child resource, you know, which has been changed in the last 3 weeks, that would be a great Sparkle query. You would need to cache a lot of data in Solr in order to do that kind of thing. It would be possible, but it's a lot harder. So that's really where the differences are. So if you can reduce the, if you can basically make these RDF graphs flat and then put those flattened representations into Solr, then Solr is going to be a lot faster and might work quite well. But if you can't reduce those or flatten those, and there are many kinds of use cases where you really can't, then it becomes harder to, you know, to really load them and query them in Solr.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up. Thank you for joining us, Aaron. This has been incredibly helpful.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And if you have follow-up questions or you want to discuss anything as you continue your investigations, feel free to reach out to me by email, or we could set up another session.
Oh, that'd be great. I appreciate it. So I guess that's it for today, everyone. Thank you again for everyone for joining. Hope to see you all soon.
Thank you, Aaron.
Bye.